There's tons of graces and gifts to being a priest. I tell you a bunch of them, but here's one. Being a priest forces you to pay attention to the prayers of the Mass because you actually have to say them. Because I remember what it was like sitting in the pews. It's like, I don't have to say anything to that. So you just kind of like check out and you're like, oh yeah. And then you hear, you know, through Christ our Lord, and you're like, amen. Right? That's what happens. I know. That's what goes on for most of you. If there were thought bubbles above your head, when I say, let us pray, most of them would go blank. And then I'd say, through Christ our Lord, and then you'd be like, amen. But as a priest, you have to pay attention. So listen to this opening line from the collect. The collect is the opening prayer of the Mass. Let us pray. O God, restorer and lover of innocence, direct the hearts of your servants toward yourself, that those you have set free from the darkness of unbelief may never stray from the light of your truth. I want to preach about that. I wasn't going to preach about that until I prayed it. I'm like, that is such a great line. Just the first part. O God, restorer and lover of innocence. God is the restorer and the lover of innocence. We lose our innocence pretty quickly. And we certainly lose it when we sin. And I know there's a thought that, oh yeah, well that's experience of life and you can't stay innocent and that's just the way it is. Well, it's the sad way it is in a fallen world. And losing your innocence does not make you more experienced. It makes you wounded. And then in due season, it makes you hardened. And then in due season, it makes you cynical and bitter. That's what sin does. It wounds us, and then if we keep on that path, we harden into our sins. And then if we keep on that path, we become cynical and bitter people because we're separated from God, who's the source of our life. Innocence isn't naivete. Innocence is purity of heart. It's freedom. It's being grafted onto the vine so that the life that comes from Jesus, who is the vine, can flow into us. And then we bear great fruit. All of us are sinners, every one of us. And so we need someone who will restore and love innocence. And that's God himself. He is the restorer and the lover of innocence. And I love that he restores things because otherwise, once we lose our innocence in whatever sin, however it happens, then we're a wreck. We're a lost cause. Not at all. My friends, not at all. God loves to restore gifts that we have squandered, gifts that we have even willingly thrown away. God loves to restore gifts, the gifts of grace, the gifts of holiness, and the gifts of innocence, to bring us back to how we were actually created. The innocent heart, the pure heart, lives in a beautiful relationship, a harmony with God. And that's where all the adventure is. Because living in harmony with God means to be about the mission and to be about the great adventure of extending the kingdom in the world. It's not naivete. It's not being stupid or meek or benighted, inexperienced. No. It's a beautiful freedom. It's wisdom. And so God labors to restore our innocence. One of the great privileges of being a priest is to see the courage of penitents, people who come to confession. And then to watch, literally watch, right in front of your face, how God, Jesus, because Jesus is the one who forgives sins, he's the main mover in confession, how he restores innocence to a person who had lost it. We're restored when we go to confession. We're restored to our baptismal innocence. That's what happens in confession. We're forgiven. We're brought back to who we are, who Jesus wants us to be. That is such a gift. Now, I told someone even in confession tonight, I said, it's not magic fairy dust. Okay, going to confession once is a magic fairy dust that makes all the problems go away. It forgives your sins. But then there's work to be done, and that's the gospel tonight. I'm the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit. That's the separation from sin that God wants as he restores our innocence to separate us from our sins. But then this, and everyone that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. Now, we don't live in an agrarian society, so we don't understand what that actually means. I do a little bit more than maybe you do, because my second year when I was back from Rome, my second year in seminary, in the summertime, I spent 2 years in Italy, right? And then I came back and I was assigned up at Big Fork, and it's in the Flathead Valley, and you Montanans might know that the Flathead Valley is famous for its Flathead cherries. So me and a good deacon, we went down and we were serving some of the poor, the migrant workers, right? And we dropped off some stuff and hung out with them for a little bit. And then on the way back, he's like, we're gonna stop at Jerry and Nona Keeler's. And I'm like, sounds good. He's like, no, you're in for a treat. They had a small operation, but they actually, like, they didn't just have Flathead cherry trees on their property to get like a tax break. They actually like farmed it, right? And they were the best in the valley. We're talking cherries, my friends. Like ping pong ball size. Huge, right? So good. And the danger, they were dangerous, because if you eat too many cherries, stuff happens, right? And that was dangerous, because I got to cut myself off, cut yourself off, right? Anyway, I was talking to Jerry, and I said, how, we're walking around his farm, and I'm like, how in the world are you doing this? And he's like, well, I decide all the energy of that tree. He said, I was a seminarian, so he said, Mark, if you saw me when we first plant a tree, you would think I'm killing the tree because I cut every branch away except for the ones that I want to bear fruit. And what he does, trims it all back, right? Because the tree will grow in a bunch of different directions. But what happens is the finite energy that the tree has will get dispersed. And so he takes it all back. He said, if you saw it, you'd think I'm destroying the tree, killing it. But what I'm doing is channeling all its energy so that it bears great fruit. Every little thing, this little branch doesn't belong, it's gone. This branch doesn't belong, it's gone. This big branch doesn't belong, it's gone. Until that tree grows and grows healthy, and then all its energy goes right into producing some of the best cherries in the valley. Well, that's what God does with us, okay? As he restores our innocence, he prunes us, and he says, that, it's sucking energy away from you. I'm gonna prune it. I'm gonna cut that off. And we might feel like he's taking something away from us, but he's only taking away things that distract us, things that disperse our energy, things that take away from the focus that we ought to have. And then, if we let him, he forms us into these beautifully fruitful disciples. All of our energy given to him, and all of the energy that we give to him bearing fruit, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of others. That's who God is, the great pruner, the great vine grower, who knows exactly what to do with our lives, who knows exactly what to take from our lives so that we become who we're called to be. His taking is really just a giving. He takes something away so that he can give us the fullness of life. So trust him with that. And remember who he is, the God who is the great restorer and lover of innocence. Let him restore your innocence. Let him love your innocence. It becomes a beautiful gift if we can live that in relationship to him. He'll do it. He does do it. He always will, because that's who he is.